Praise be to Allah. Dear beloved people, we are to say we do not discriminate against any single one of the messengers of God. Don't you know that is a truth? That is a reality that we should feel very good in or good about? Why? Because people profess to be holy. They profess to be righteous. They profess to be God worshipers. And then they let prejudice cause them to say one man is not a messenger of a God simply because he questioned some of their corroded knowledge. They forget that knowledge corrodes too when it's not given proper attention. And if it corrodes enough, it becomes impure, unfit, weak, crumbles under pressure like corroded metal. And they see in their book prophets who came after prophets and made new things, brought new things, made additions, abolished something that was before. Prophet Muhammad wasn't the only one. Prophets came behind prophets doing that, bringing in new vision, bringing in new orders, abolishing things that were established before. Prophet Muhammad comes in no different than them, only much better, because Allah had provided him with much more too for the end of the finale. And he recognized all of the messengers. And he restored, with the help of God, he restored them to their proper purity and proper dignity. Oh, this is wonderful. He didn't take anything from Jesus Christ, peace be upon the prophets, but he improved upon the concept or the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Someone will say, well, coming down from Son of God to just a mortal man is no improvement. That's because your sight is short. Your intellect is deprived. If you would look at me right now and judge me, you who love me, and I believe a lot of you love me, you who love me, if you would judge me now and my works and give some kind of divine station to me, you wouldn't raise me, you would lower me. How come? Because if what I have done as a man is now attributed to a divine being, then that wasn't much for a divine being. But for a man, that was a little something. But if I'm more than a man now, if you say, no, he's more than a man, if you make me more than a man, then my works are devaluated instead of lifted up. Yes. If the weightlifter come here and lift 200-pound barbell, would you be excited over him as you would the youngster who never lifted any weights before and he picked it up and lifted? No, you would be excited over the youngster who's not a weightlifter and he picked up the 200-pound barbell. But that dude who's been 10 years building up his muscles and practicing that, if he pick it up, he say, hey, man, let me see what you can do with 400. So they accredit Jesus with certain things that they accredit, that the Bible also accredits Elijah with. Elijah and Elisha and other figures in the Bible. They were also accredited with healing the sick, giving life to the dead, etc., etc. They were also accredited with rising above the earth and going into heaven, whole soul and body. See, Elijah did not die, but he was translated. He went up into heaven, whole soul and body. This is Bible. So now, you're going to make the person now a divine being. He's not a mortal like Elijah. He's not a mortal like Elisha. He's not a mortal like the other prophets who did similar miracles. He's not a mortal like Moses, who performed great miracles by the help of God. He's not a mortal like those men now. So what have you done with him? You have reduced his value. You have have reduced his image. You have lessened the miracle of his feet. Yes. For it's a miracle when a model does it. It ain't no miracle if God does it. Yes. So you see, we can reason with you. We can talk back to you. And we invite you to reason with us and talk back to us. Because Allah has revealed a rational line as well as a faith, a line of faith. Oh, yes. And faith upholds it all. Oh, yes. Jesus said if you only had so much faith as a grain of mustard seed. Faith. Grain of mustard seed couldn't sit down and decide how it's going to grow in the earth. It couldn't map out its plan to become a mustard plant. Just put it in the earth, and the right conditions came along, and it grew, and it prospered, and it came into its organic structure in proper sequences, according to a plan. And it couldn't think for itself. Oh, faith. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes. Faith. That seed can't rebel against God's ways. It can't rebel against God's influences. So it is completely dead to its own will or its own role in the matter. Therefore, it gets the benefit of God's plan. And Allah says, Mutu fa ahya. Die so you will live. Die to what? Die to your own glorification. Die to your own self-importance. And live in Allah's scheme. In his plan. Praise be to Allah. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, yes. It is wonderful. And I mean wonderful indeed. Praise be to Allah. So now, dear beloved believers, we are to understand the proper stratification of authority. Allah is the uppermost authority, and what he has done represents his will manifest, or his will acted out. Therefore, all that he did bears a unity. A continuity. It is one continuous. Yes. So, whatever authority that I'm obeying, it's Allah's authority. Allah say, obey Allah and obey his messenger. But when I'm obeying his messenger, I'm also obeying Allah. Because his authority has now been translated into the messenger, right? Yes. So if I'm obeying the messenger, I'm still obeying Allah. And Allah has created us with a nature to question improper authority over our lives. That's the nature of even the fool. Say, man, what right have you to make me do this? Or what right have you to take this away from me? So don't say you're obeying me, ma'am. You're obeying Allah if you're obeying the right authority. But Imam is just an office. A reminder. That's all. Right? He's just an office, our reminder. If he's carrying out his duty to obey Allah as the authority and obey his messenger as the authority. Yes. So see this continuous line of authority. It must get its support from Allah. If Allah is not the support for it, it's no good. It's no good. Now, where is Allah? We know Allah is in our hearts. Allah is in the breast of the believer. We know that. Allah is everywhere. We know that. But where is Allah for my senses, for my intellect, for my rational faculties, in my relationship with you and other people? Where is Allah? In his word. Right? That's why I said, he says, refer it to Allah. If you differ concerning a matter, refer it to Allah and his messenger. That doesn't mean we should go and tune in, do some spooky ritual. Allah, 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 tell me what you want, Allah. No, you're not to do that. I've already told you in the best way. Right? So where is Allah for all practical purposes? Allah is in his revealed word. Yes. Though for us in terms of our own satisfaction, in terms of the spirit, in terms of our own personal satisfaction, Allah is right here. Right in here. If he's not in there, he's nowhere in me. Can't be here. No, he's right in here. This is the prophet. This is what he said. Peace be upon him. This is what the Quran says. Allah says in the Quran, and Allah stations himself between the mortal and his heart. Yes. So he's already said that. And Prophet Muhammad has said that there is a piece of flesh that when it is good, it is all good. And when it is bad, it is all bad. What is it? The heart of man. In other words, the heart is one. It can't be good and bad at the same time. Any bad accepted in the heart makes the heart bad. And any commitment to good accepted in the heart makes the heart good. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? And it is the inner conscience. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, if we are to respect authority and accept authority, we must first, as Muslims, see the justification for our obedience in that authority being supported by Allah. Allah in his word, the Quran, and in his religion as demonstrated or practiced by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. That's where we establish authority, to support other authority. That's why I say they believe in Allah, in his angels, his books, and his messengers. And then what comes up? Obey. Atiullah wa Rasul. Obey Allah and obey his messenger. Right? Oh, yes. Then we find obedience, obligation to obey, comes not with angels. Allah never told us to obey angels. Because you're not supposed to be hearing angels. You're supposed to be hearing the messenger of God. Yes. The messenger of the angel have already been heard. You're not supposed to be listening for any angels. You're supposed to be listening to the word of God as revealed to Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. Then if angels come to you, then you'll be able to receive them. That is, you'll be in your rational frame of mind. I hope. Inshallah. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. And if you differ in a matter, refer it to Allah and his messenger. That's the same as saying, refer it to the Quran and the Sunnah. The same. Because where is Allah and the messenger? Allah is in the Quran, in the word of the Quran, in his revelation. And Muhammad is in his sunnah. Right? Yes! Praise be to Allah. All right. We hope to continue and finish this up shortly. Now, dear beloved Muslims, let us not envy authority. Because because authority has nothing to boast of itself. No one has authority except it is established in Allah. Upon Quran and upon the life that he ordered human beings to live as demonstrated in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So don't envy authority. That's the dilemma, the quagmire of the masses, the poor, the ignorant people, and the educated, the wealthy, the bosses, the power breakers, brokers, the power makers. They all rest comfortably in their places of security because they know the masses can never establish leadership because they don't have the insight that they need to protect them from jealousy. So whenever they see us about to establish a leader, right away they begin to influence the environment. They begin to influence the community that's trying to establish a leader to rouse jealousy in the associates so that that leadership won't grow, won't become strong. But if we will do credit to God's word and respect it as divine and seek our insights from the Quran and not from their propagandist world, we will be blessed with the human sensitivity, with the charity for our brothers and sisters, with love for the whole that will take us away from narrow self-promotion, narrow self-advantages. It will take us away from that. And in time, God will bless us with insight to see his wisdom so that it's impossible for somebody to make us jealous. Once you've seen his scheme, it's impossible for people to make you jealous of another human being. They might catch you napping or dozing, and the influence may touch you, but as soon as it comes to the rational process, the mind will do away with it. Say, this is unbecoming of me. Get out of my system. Yes. Oh, yes. This is the best. This religion, Al-Islam, jealousy, keep us at the mercy of those who are working against us. All we have to do is just tear that heart of jealousy out. Throw it away. Let it die. Ya Allah, grow me another heart. I can't stand that one anymore. And if you do that with sincerity, believe me, Allah will cast it out and give you a new heart. Oh, yes. Dear beloved believers, we seek Allah always because we know he's our only refuge. When we fail in ourselves, he's our only refuge. When we fail following others that we think are strong and wise, he's our only refuge. So let us never forget to turn to Allah and always pray blessings on Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, and on his following, because Allah has willed and he has carried it out that Muhammad and his following be the example to the world. Not others, not you, not me, but Muhammad and his following. They are examples to the world. So the key is to remain faithful as a follower to Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed. And as long as we remain faithful to Muhammad, the prophet that the Quran was revealed to, then we are in his following. And if we are in his following, God is going to carry out his promise to Muhammad in his following. Yes! Praise be to Allah. Allah says to us, in the Quran, instructing us how we should be, what kind of attitude we should have, how we should view our relationship to him or with the world, etc. How we should see ourselves in this vast, vast ocean of many, many and complex things. With regard to obedience to him, because after all, that's our objective. If we are Muslim, our aim is to obey Allah. And you know, say, hey, which way are you going, man? Don't say east. Say to Allah's pleasure. Let the Masons, the Shriners say east. Say, which way are you going, man? Say to Allah's pleasure. That's the aim, that's the purpose in the life of the believer. It's to please his Lord. It's to fulfill what his Lord intends for him. And to be appreciative. Praise be to Allah. So now, dear believers, it is Allah who enable us to focus our vision for clarity, for stability, etc., etc. Many of us are in confusion and in bad situations because we don't know how to focus our vision. We are just moving in the dark. Are we following routine in the dark? Like a person who has become accustomed to the situation in a household. And he moves about without thought because he knows it. He's been doing it so long. Yes. That's how most of us live in the world. Just moving about out of habit. But to have a specific object that we make our whole life conform to, our whole life support, most of us don't have it. No. And Allah, who created us, has provided that for us. That's devotion to him. Devotion to him will give your life purpose. It will give your life direction. That's why Allah says, whoever holds on to that devotion, he will be redeemed, though he be in hell. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, yes. Most of us just live in the world. Some of us are unable to see the real characteristics of the world. We're able to see the constant side of the world. We're able to distinguish those things that are permanent, dominant, constant from those things that are temporary, perishable, superficial, etc. Yes. Allah calls our attention to forms and also to processes. The Allah is the one who, what? When the prophet was challenged by the disbeliever who was claiming himself to be God, Pharaoh. He said, like Solomon says, ain't no God but the human being. That's what Pharaoh said. And I read an article called Muhammad Speaks from Silas Muhammad, who lives now somewhere in Georgia, I think. And the article said, and there is no Allah, a God, but the human being. And I said, look at the man, how he's making a fool of himself and further discrediting the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The very expression human tells us that that's a defected God. Because hue means color.